Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today, by far one of the most requested stories from the past day, and that is news about news on the internet, specifically YouTube. And the reason we're talking about this today is essentially right as yesterday's show went out, YouTube made a massive announcement regarding news on the platform. And it's actually a part of the larger Google News initiative that was announced back in March. So what are the big pieces here? Well, one, YouTube put out a blog with these changes, and they say, after a breaking news event, it takes time to verify, produce, and publish high-quality videos. Journalists often write articles first to break the news rather than produce videos. That's why in the coming weeks in the US, we will start providing a short preview of news articles and search results on YouTube that link to the full article during the initial hours of a major news event, along with a reminder that breaking and developing news can rapidly change. And this is part of YouTube's effort, as they put it, to prominently surface authoritative sources. And so along with that, they announced, to make it easier to find quality news, our top news shelf prominently highlights videos from news sources and search results. And adding, when it comes to breaking news, our breaking news shelf highlights videos from news organizations about that event directly on the YouTube homepage. And those features, they said, launched in 17 countries, and they expect that number to double in the coming months. Now, of course, one of the questions that comes with this story is, okay, who are they saying are authoritative sources? Who are they going to be featuring? I mean, if we look at the screenshots they have provided thus far, you see USA Today, CBS This Morning, Fox News, CNN, and one for the New York Times, but they also add that there is going to be a focus on local news, writing, many people want, value, and trust local news. And when a major event happens, local reporters are often the first on site to capture events as they unfold. We've begun testing features that surface local news in the YouTube app for TV screens across 25 media markets around the United States, making it easy to access local news in the living room, our fastest growing screen. And on top of this, it also appears that YouTube is embracing Wikipedia and Encyclopedia Britannica, saying, we also believe users should be able to choose and make their own judgments about the information they consume along with context to inform their judgments. So starting today, users will begin seeing information from third parties, including Wikipedia and Encyclopedia Britannica, alongside videos on a small number of well-established historical and scientific topics that have been often subject to misinformation, like the moon landing and the Oklahoma City bombing. And so that is a pretty obvious swing at conspiracy theory videos. And in addition to this, YouTube announced that they are committing a $25 million investment. Specifically regarding this money, they call it innovation funding, saying we will provide funding across approximately 20 global markets to support news organizations in building sustainable video operations. Provided on an application basis to news organizations of all types, these grants will enable our partners to build key capabilities, train staff on video best practices, enhance production facilities, and develop formats optimized for online video. Additionally, they say they're expanding their team of specialists that work with news publishers. Also adding that they've established an early working group, this to help handle challenges and make the news experience on YouTube better. Adding that some of their early members include India Today and Vox Media. And what the final notes they hit on is what they call an investment into digital literacy education, saying we have teamed up with the Poynter Institute, Stanford University Local Media Association, and the National Association for Media Literacy Education to support MediaWise, a US-based initiative designed to equip 1 million teens with digital literacy skills. Adding six incredible YouTube creators, including John Green, Ingrid Nelson, and Mark Watson will be working with MediaWise to bring awareness to digital literacy and help educate teens. And so with all of that said, to change gears, my personal takeaway from this is I'm skeptical but interested. And I'll kind of expand on that because so many people kept sending me screenshots or just links to Susan Wojcicki linking off to the blog and announcement. And what I'll say is YouTube, like every other platform right now, has a fake news problem. And I'm personally of the belief that this is partially a self-inflicted wound, specifically that algorithms on all of these platforms reward people for getting people to stay on the platform. For example, if someone is a flat earther and they watch a video and they're intrigued and they dive down the rabbit hole, the platform will say, hey, do you want more of this crazy bullshit? Also, unfortunately, in the minutes right after breaking news, usually around shootings, people just start throwing up videos saying, oh, this could be the thing that's happening. Oh, it might be this person. Things that haven't been verified yet. But because those people refer to the story, people start searching for that story, they essentially end up getting rewarded. So we look at YouTube's announcements here and we go, okay, so they're trying to deal with those issues. But I, like many others, am intrigued and also skeptical of who they choose to be authoritative sources. Regarding featuring local news more prominently, yes, please do not make it just the YouTube TV app. Also, unfortunately, a note that I have to make because of YouTube's branding, I'm saying the app for YouTube for TVs and not the app YouTube TV. If anyone should be getting featured more prominently on the platform across the board, it is local news. But regarding the other guys, the big guys, I am skeptical and nervous. As someone who is independent trying to talk about news, it feels like yet another hurdle that pushes our content further down. It feels like the prominent featuring of organizations that do not have a lot of public trust. That said, for transparency's sake, after this announcement was made, I was contacted by YouTube. I obviously hope for the best to come out of those conversations. I am one voice, but hopefully I can throw in some opinions for the others. Right, some input from organizations that aren't MSM or don't have previous deals with YouTube like YouTube TV and the Young Turks. But of course, the big thing to note there, I am not involved yet. Early stages of a conversation. hopefully some good comes out of it. But we'll see. And I'll pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts about this move? Do you think it makes sense? Do you see this as a potential win or no? Do you think this is a bad move on their part? They should have been more hands off. Or actually maybe even a third option. Do you think that they were kind of screwed either way? Screwed if they didn't do something because people would say, why don't you care? Or screwed if they did something because people would say, oh, you're skewing it, trying to control the truth. Let me know what you think. But from that, I want to share some stuff I love today. And today, an awesome brought to you by Postmates. And Postmates, for those that don't know, is the fantastic delivery on demand app. You want something from your favorite restaurant, you want something from the store, boom, just open up the app, they'll deliver it to your house, your office, your wherever. And if you're one of the people that have been like, Postmates isn't in my area, they actually just expanded to 100 more new cities. It is the ultimate time saver and convenience. And if you are a new customer, go to postafranco.com, download the app, and then make sure you enter in promo code PhillyD so they give you $100 in free delivery credit. And the first bit of awesome today is actually just a shout out to my buddies over at the Valley Folk. It's a channel and group composed of the four OG SourceFed hosts. They just released the first episode of a show they're testing called Your Show. And I don't have anything to do with the channel, the content, anything like that, but they're four really, really funny people. And so if you want to see them, click in the link down below. Then we got the Honest trailer for Rampage. Then we got a teaser trailer for this season's Hard Knocks, which I just want to say, Cleveland Brown fans, I don't know how you do it, but it's inspiring to watch you. And as a Jets fan, it's just nice that there's another team out there that sucks worse. Then we got the launch trailer for Dead Cells. Then we had Riot Games lead designer Greg Street answering league questions from Twitter. We had Ted Ed asking, what is the coldest thing in the world? Then we had First We Feast giving us the burger show. Also a big shout out to everyone participating in this year's Guardian Con. As of recording this video, over $1.7 million has been raised for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And if you want to see the full versions of everything I just shared, the secret link of the day, anything at all, links as always are in the description down below. And then we had NFL running back LeSean McCoy in the news because of a slew of allegations. And the allegations we're talking about today appear to be coming from a friend of an ex or a current girlfriend of McCoy. And she posted this side by side of McCoy's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend Alicia Corden with the caption, at Shady McCoy is the devil. You are an animal. We didn't say anything about how you beat your dog Henny into kidney failure. Let's not talk about all the times my best friend had to stop you from viciously beating your son for small things like peeing in the bed. We kept quiet about your drug usage, all the illegal steroids and needles you were using, but we will not keep quiet about this. I can't believe you did this to my best friend. Your karma is going to be so real. The world needs to know what type of animal you really are. This was just her yesterday on the left, and now this morning, this is her on the right. So all in all, we have allegations of drug use, child abuse, animal abuse, and domestic abuse. And looking through the Instagram accounts, there does seem to be some connection. If we go through Corden's Instagram, we see a video where McCoy is actually filming himself. Another one from the past where she's on a red carpet posing with McCoy. We also see recent photos of Mia and Corden together, so we can see that there's a friendship. Now, following this post and it gaining traction, according to ESPN, the Buffalo Bills are aware of the accusation. And since then, McCoy has addressed these allegations on Instagram and Twitter, writing, for the record, the totally baseless and offensive claims made against me today on social media are completely false. Furthermore, I have not had any direct contact with any of the people involved in months. Now, a big thing to note with this story is the timing is really interesting. Regarding the attack, most people would ask, okay, well, where's the police report? Well, according to TMZ Sports, officials said, EMTs responded to a home on Delicia Street early Monday morning. There are only three houses on our block. As far as details, we're not really getting any. According to reports, Milton Police Department was still preparing a police report. Additionally, there's also been the situation in Georgia where McCoy is trying to get Corden out of a house. According to documents obtained by TMZ Sports, McCoy went to court in June seeking to get a judge's order forcing her to move out of a home he owns in Alpharetta, Georgia. And in those court documents, McCoy allegedly wrote, defendant is ex-girlfriend of owner slash plaintiff and refuses to leave. And once again, like I said, the timing is important here. Reportedly, both sides were actually supposed to appear in court today. But still, all that said, it is incredibly important to realize that this is still a developing story and this is very early on. There are some things to consider and also not a lot known. We don't have the full details regarding the EMTs that were on the scene. The allegations are coming from a friend and not the woman herself, although based off of those pictures, that could be just based off of ability. And so as of right now, we'll have to wait to see what comes next. And then let's talk about a fantastic update out of Thailand with that story we've talked about for the past week. You had 12 boys and their coach stuck in a cave for more than 2 weeks, and the big news is they are all out. The rescue operation resumed at around 10 a.m. local time, and just a few hours later, the remaining four boys and their coach were out. They were rescued. They were then transported to a local hospital, but main point, they all got out. This is amazing news. You had so many people come together to save these kids that at a time, the situation seemed pretty hopeless. And since this is probably the last time that we will talk about this story on this show, I did want to note and remember one thing. And that is, of course, again, former Thai Navy SEAL Saman Kunan, who died in his attempt to help rescue these boys. His sacrifice and the risk that all of these people took to help someone they didn't even know. It's those actions and these moments that make me feel like maybe we'll be all right as a species. Maybe good can thrive in an otherwise unforgiving world. And I think that's a note that I want to leave with that story. And then let's talk about President Trump's nominee for Supreme Court Justice, which actually, before we even move forward on this, I just need to say that I have never quite felt more like I was just part of the reality show that is the United States of America than yesterday when the White House official Twitter account released kind of a hype video for the announcement. But that said, the announcement happens and Donald Trump makes his pick.
In keeping with President Reagan's legacy, I do not ask about a nominee's personal opinions. What matters is not a judge's political views, but whether they can set aside those views to do what the law and the Constitution require. I am pleased to say that I have found, without doubt, such a person. Tonight, it is my honor and privilege to announce that I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
And that man who I like the reveal. He comes in right after his name was announced, like he's the new Bachelor. And actually, to introduce him like he's on The Bachelor, that is Brett Kavanaugh, a 53-year-old federal appeals court judge who loves the Constitution as much as he loves coaching his children's sports teams. Also, he is considered by some experts to, if he is approved, would end up being one of the three most conservative justices on the Supreme Court. But that said, that's kind of painting Kavanaugh with a broad brush. And so we kind of have to look at individual topics as well as things that he's done or said in the past. One of the things you'll hear a lot about is his investigations of and around Bill Clinton. In 1994, he was hired by independent counsel Ken Starr. This to investigate the death of President Bill Clinton's deputy counsel, Vincent Foster. He also investigated Bill Clinton himself regarding the Monica Lewinsky scandal. And that's actually a thing of note because after he kind of looked back at how that investigation unfolded, he gave this quote saying, "Even the lesser burdens of a criminal investigation, including preparing for questioning by criminal investigators, are time-consuming and distracting. Like civil suits, criminal investigations take the president's focus away from his or her responsibilities to the people. And a president who is concerned about an ongoing criminal investigation is almost inevitably going to do a worse job as president." And so while Kavanaugh there seems to be referencing what happened with Bill Clinton, people are obviously pointing to the current situation of the Mueller investigation. Then, of course, one of the big questions is where does Kavanaugh stand regarding abortion, specifically Roe v. Wade? And here people have been mainly looking at two different instances. And the first instance comes from 2006 during his confirmation hearing. We see this interaction between Senator Chuck Schumer and Kavanaugh.
"Do you consider Roe v. Wade to be an abomination? And do you consider yourself to be a judicial nominee, like the president said he was going to nominate people in the mold of Scalia and Thomas?"
"Senator, on the question of Roe v. Wade, if confirmed to the D.C. Circuit, I would follow Roe v. Wade faithfully and fully. That would be binding precedent of the court. It's been decided by the Supreme Court."
"I ask you your own opinion."
And I'm saying if I were confirmed to the D.C. Circuit, Senator, I would follow it. It's been reaffirmed many times, including in Planned Parenthood versus..."
"I understand, but what is your opinion? You're not on the bench yet. You've talked about these issues in the past to other people, I'm sure."
The Supreme Court has held repeatedly, Senator, and I don't think it would be appropriate for me to give a personal view on that case."
And reception from this has been mixed. Some taking that as he respects precedent. If it's already been decided, I'm not going to change it. Whereas others have taken that somewhat as a non-answer, or at the very least, something that would not relate to him being on the Supreme Court, pointing out that he is simply saying, if I am on this lesser court, I would follow the precedent from the Supreme Court. And so the argument is essentially once he is on a court of that level, we might see a shift. And then the second point that a lot of people have been talking about comes from last year from the D.C. Circuit Court. And the question in that case was whether an undocumented immigrant teen in detention was entitled to seek an abortion. And Kavanaugh ended up writing a dissenting opinion, saying the court was wrong to conclude she had the right to an immediate abortion on demand, adding delaying the procedure until she could be released to a U.S. sponsor would not impose an undue burden on the abortion right. But, like Kavanaugh said back in 2006, he wrote, "All parties to this case recognize Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey as precedents we must follow." Which, of course, once again brought up the debate of, is he saying that because he thinks it should stand and precedent matters, or no, it's different once he's on that Supreme Court. Now, in addition to Roe v. Wade, it's important to understand that there are other pillars. On the note of privacy, we've seen Kavanaugh stand behind warrantless wiretaps, this including the NSA's surveillance operation that Edward Snowden exposed back in 2013. And on this he wrote, "The government's metadata collection program is entirely consistent with the Fourth Amendment. In my view, that critical national security need outweighs the impact on privacy occasioned by this program." Additionally, in 2010, he dissented on another court opinion, this involving a case where authorities put a GPS tracker on a suspect's car without a warrant, Kavanaugh saying the suspect did not have a reasonable expectation of privacy in his public movements. Then, on the issue of net neutrality, it appears he is not a fan of that regulation. In a 2017 dissent, he wrote, "Just like cable operators, internet service providers deliver content to consumers. Internet service providers may not necessarily generate much content of their own, but they may decide what content they will transmit, just as cable operators decide what content they will transmit." Additionally, the year prior, in 2016, he filed another dissent on a net neutrality case, and he argued that net neutrality rules were unconstitutional, and he compared it to the rights of cable companies not having to air certain programs because of protections under the First Amendment. And so ultimately, that is where we are right now. Treat this as kind of an initial introduction. It's incredibly likely over the next few weeks, at least, that we're going to be talking about Kavanaugh and a few select senators that are going to give him the pass or fail. And on the note of those senators, and actually several other things, it's going to be very interesting to watch what happens. And that's where we're going to end today's show. And of course, remember, if you like this video or the daily videos on this channel, hit that like button, subscribe, ring that bell if you haven't already. Also, if you missed yesterday's Philip DeFranco show, you want to catch up, you can click or tap right there to watch that. But with that said, of course, as always, my name is Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.